They are tired of sorting through noise, tired of headlines, tired of opinions, tired of people speaking with uncertainty about things they may not actually understand, tired of wondering who to trust. And that creates a real problem. Because when trust breaks down, people either become gullible or cynical. They either believe something, something or everything, or they just shut down completely. So, how do you stay informed without getting overwhelmed? How do you think clearly when everybody is trying to shape your attention? Today's guest is Stephen, and he is here today. He is the CEO and the editor of Heartland Journal and the host of Heartland Journal podcast. Publicly, he describes his path as unusual pivot from a long Wall Street career into publishing and media, and now he focuses on journalism, commentary, and independent media. This is a conversation about trust, information, overload, media influence, and how to keep your mind in a clear way when there's a very noisy world around us. Stephen, I am so excited to have you on the show. Welcome to the show.
Stacey, thanks for having me. It's a thrill. And yeah, your intro was great. It reminds me, like, when I started in this business, there was about 100,000 or less podcasts, and now there's like 4.4 million. So talk about noise. There's a lot of noise, and it is interesting how to break through. I don't really like being called an influencer because what a terrible thing if you're going to do news to be like, well, did you influence me or did you inform me? And so I'm an informer, absolutely.
Now, let's get right straight to the real issue. Like, a lot of people feel like they do not know who to trust anymore. They don't know, what's real, what is the spin, what's the agenda, and what is actually worth their attention. So, why do you think trust has broken down so much in our society?
Well, it's a huge topic, and it's what I wrote my book about. It's how I got into this business in the first place. And when I did take it over, it said, hey, this is how I'm going to run it. This is my mission statement. And one of the first things you learn in media is that people like Jeff Bezos, who bought the Washington Post, a formerly very trusted news organization, or Rupert Murdoch, even, who owns Fox. Is that these guys are billionaires and they could care less about the $100,000 a day that they have to spend on the news. And so it's not a money maker. So there's a lot of advertisements. And then you have to say, well, who are those advertisers? And those advertisers, are they actually? So it's a lot about discernment. It's a lot about follow the money. I always threaten I'm going to change the name of my show to Follow the Money, because like I say, for my company, it's infotainment, right? Information first, entertainment second. So a lot of times what they're doing is they're making the news entertaining, which is why there is such a thing as a TMZ, or why there is such a thing as Hollywood. So that's entertainment only. And if you go see a movie, you're not going to walk out there going like, I didn't know that the space shuttle, landed on the moon. And no, that was fiction. But when you're going for information, now you're talking about, okay, you need some facts and figures. And then you have to realize, well, who provided those facts and figures. So especially during the era of COVID, I don't want to tell you everything all in one breath, but during the era of COVID, you had to discern truth from lies, lies from statistics, statistics from bias, bias from ulterior motives. And now what we have, at the time they were called the alt-right, some of the most radical figures in politics on the right have now become alt-right 2.0 in the influencer market. So if you're a conservative, that does not mean you're a Republican. And if you're a Republican, that certainly doesn't mean you're a conservative. So you have to now look for ulterior motives. Why did she say that? You want to just say, oh, like Walter Cronkite, you said it because it's the news. I need to know it. It could save my life. If if there's a tornado coming, I want to know that it really is coming. But now these influencers have sort of taken sides, and you have to say, where did their money come from? Where did their advertisers come from? How do they feed the people who work on their podcast in the sound department or the mixing department, and therefore are willing to say something that maybe they don't think, but they want you to know because someone else told them to do that. So how do you trust them? How do you trust Sean Hannity? How do you trust Megyn Kelly? How do you trust Candace Owens, who you used to think you agreed with, and was giving you good information, and now might have some ulterior motives many years later with millions and millions of dollars at stake. So, long story short, that's what my show is about. My show and my book are always about people who had the truth on their side, but the man, the system, the mainstream didn't want it to be told. So I gave them a place to tell them. How easy is that? I just give them the microphone and they come on and they tell me the truth. I wish 10 million people like Dan Bongino's show would listen to it on a weekly basis, but maybe one day they will, or at least they'll go looking for that person that they heard when they finally do get their day in the sun, and they'll go back and listen to the long form Q&A show that I did with them so that they'll say, oh yeah, I've had folks like that that you never heard of before. They blew up into much bigger things, sort of like a farm team on a baseball team going to the major leagues. And I can always say, like, I knew them when. Riley Gaines, Chloe Cole, I can go down a whole list. They're in the book. But bottom line is, at the time when they were controversial, the controversy was the truth. They should have been the influencer. The influencers wouldn't allow them to be told, and they wouldn't invite them on CNN. That's for darn sure. So I gave them the only platform in town. Then when they got super huge and Clay Travis bought Riley Gaines and gave her a podcast, and now she's, affecting legislation for women's rights all across the country, and she's a big thing. It was nice that I got her, early on, because now I probably couldn't get her back. She's too busy.
Now, do you think the bigger problem is misinformation or is it information overload in our society?
Well, I mean, we live in East of Eden, right? I mean, this is Earth, and the Prince of Lies, the father of lies, is in charge. And we love to be able to believe that everybody is with us, but they're not. And so a lot of times you have to be that leader to say, I'll let you talk. You're a doctor, you're the most published doctor ever, and they won't let you talk. I'm talking about Dr. Peter McCullough. He was on my show. Happened to be Joe Rogan's biggest audience ever until he got John Malone on, who's also been on my show. And the reason why is because people wanted to hear the truth because they've been lied to for so long institutionally. They couldn't go to Fox, they couldn't go to CNN, they couldn't go to MSNBC, they couldn't go to the White House and get, from the press secretary the truth that they needed, sometimes life or death, but these characters could. So the answer was, okay, you can lie to me. You can go. It's not. Am I going to say every episode I've had has been a 100% truth? But they're invited to be lovers of truth. That's my tagline. Always an interesting person making a positive change in our community and lovers of truth. Well, if you're a lover of truth and you lie, that's on you. That's for my audience to discern. But if you are a lover of truth and you tell us the truth, you can then go watch the evening news and go like, hey, wait, that's not what he said. Or that's not what they're saying on Steve's show. That's so there's something there. Then you go find out your real facts, and then you find it. So it's very difficult to be discerning on Earth amongst humans who are all sinners. You know what I'm saying? So just given that as the preference, you have to almost assume like you're always being lied to until proven otherwise. That's why I love Ronald Reagan so much. Trust but verify. Let him tell you the truth or lie, and then go verify it. On CNN in 30 seconds, you're not going to get the truth and verifiably so. And if they do lie, they gloss right over it onto the next thing. That's why I'm an hour-long show, question and answer, long form, we call it, because I will be able to get to the heart of it if they let me.
Now we live in a world where everyone has a microphone now. Outlets, influencers, podcasts, short-term form clips, newsletters, social feeds, it's constant. So why does that noise spread faster than clarity?
Well, that's the old line, a lie can make its way around the world before you put your socks on in the morning. Like and now we just put it on steroids, because if I post a tweet and I'm wrong, whether I'm lying or I just have the information wrong, it could be seen in China and Russia and Germany before I remember to, change the spelling on the edit feature. So we certainly live in an infotainment, or sorry, information universe with digital everything all the time. And like you said, if they're scrolling past me and they hear me say something, and then the next scroll is Kim Kardashian and what she's wearing, to this to in her bathing suit today, and then on to this and the next movie that's coming out, and 5 seconds of a clip from Daredevil 2 season 8, whatever. Like, it's just so much out there, which is a negative if you're trying to focus. And that's where AI comes in. And I wrote an article, I write an article every Friday on my website, heartlandjournal.com, and Substack, Heartland Journal. AI without Jesus is artificial, right? Artificial intelligence. Well, Jesus is information that you need, and that is intelligence. Whereas artificial, it's you and me, garbage in, garbage out. That can't possibly be right. You could throw Socrates in there one day, and then the next day you're talking to Don Lemon. Like, you just don't know who's information you're getting and digesting and owning, especially if it's short. And that's why we have a reading problem in this country at schools, is that a lot of them, sometimes 0% in places like Chicago, are graduating high school and they can't read. So they're not going to go for Substack or long form Q&As, maybe if they listen, but their attention span is too short. So they're going to go to the video on TikTok or Instagram or whatever. And they're not going to get the Socratic method that I use on my show. They're not going to understand the Constitution of the United States, and they might not even speak English. So there's your competitor is the 5 second or 20 second TikTok video, whether it be a cat dancing at breakfast time or me having a newsbreaker conversation. I know where they're going to choose. Just based on that unfortunate situation, because they can't read it on Twitter. They just can't read, period, end of story. So back when the day of Twitter used to be like 30 characters, and now you can do long form, but people aren't getting popular with that anymore. They're getting popular with conspiracy theories and old ancient, tribal hatreds and all these other things, because that's the easy clicks. And I understand it, because I also did an article called Tickling the Algorithm. If I can have another 60 seconds, I'll just explain that to you. As an influencer, as a podcaster, as somebody who's online all the time, Candace Owens is a good example. She flips open her laptop and she has high quality cameras because she's a wealthy woman, and she produces this information. You think you're getting credible information, although her credibility is completely shot, because so many things, time after time since Charlie Kirk was shot, has just been debunked. But yet they keep coming back for more because it's entertaining. So that's the responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility. Like they said in Spider-Man, you have to have good information, not just information, because you can blind a lot of the masses, especially that 75% of people who I said can't read. That's a lot. So if you're going to start throwing out these crazy things, tune in tomorrow for more conspiracy theories, not facts. And one of my shining things is I love to be able to debunk conspiracy theories by saying it was a theory and it was a conspiracy, but now it's been fact checked and it's a fact, and that's cool. Remember we used to have fact checkers? We kind of lost that too. So to answer your question directly, the point is that there's so much. It's like going into Walmart or going into Barnes and Noble, looking around at all the books and saying, gosh, I'd love to know all the knowledge and information in all of them, but I only have time for maybe a chapter a day if I'm not exhausted from work. So you can't. So therefore, people have defaulted to the easy one. It's in your hand, it's in your phone. You flip through TikTok, you jump over to Instagram, you look at Facebook, and you're going to go with the people that you trust and like, or you're rarely going to go to somebody who makes you mad and that you hate. So it gets very difficult. And especially when it gets political, which is where it all gets shut down, which is why I was canceled on Facebook for 2 years, which is why I was not on YouTube for the first 3 years of the show, which is why even X put me in timeout for several weeks when it was under the old management before Elon came around. But I can also see that the algorithm is doing that, so nobody's perfect. But we used to be called the town square, right? You used to be able to go out to your local main street, stand around and talk to your neighbors and get all the news and information you'd ever really want, and some opinions and some fact checking and all that kind of stuff. And then you go home and you do your thing. Well, now everybody's like 24-hour news cycle ever since the Persian Gulf War, when George Bush was president. It's like there's got to be a new news. If it leads, it bleeds every single hour of
Yeah.
every single day. And that's really not how it works. Like, we think it's urgent. Get excited. Spend your money right now. Do it. Do it. It's got to happen. You could pretty much go a year without getting on social media and come back, and not much is going to happen.
That's true. Like, what does too much information do to a person's judgment, in your opinion?
Well, you get analysis paralysis. They used to call that in college, where you
Yeah.
basically, if you're going to do a term paper and you're going to go look at all the theologians who had this to say about the crucifixion,
Yeah.
Happy Good Friday, by the way, and Easter to those who celebrate it. You'll never write a word. You'll get writer's block, as they used to say if you're an author. And so
Yeah.
that's bad. So one of the lessons you learn in journalism is, fact, who, what, where, what, why, and how. And that's
Right.
it. Don't stray into, I think this, and this person said that on one hand. Then you become an economist. On
Yeah.
one hand, this, on the other hand, on this. And then you never do anything. You never invest. So, and then you say, oh man, I could have invested at Tesla at $8, and here it is at whatever. So, like, because
Right.
you got paralyzed with the information. So that is what discernment is. Discernment is the ability to say, I know that there's important information out there. It's
Yeah.
breaking news. I need to know this. For all I know, they could be marching down my street, and that's bad.
Yeah.
But when you realize, well, now it's thousands of miles away, and it happened to one person out of 2 billion in the country, it's not a thing. Then whatever. And when we used to have four network channels, even before that it was three, ABC, NBC, CBS. If it didn't happen on the news channel, it didn't happen. You didn't know what was going on in Vietnam. You didn't know what was going on in China. You didn't care. You only wanted to know what Walter Cronkite or Tim Brokaw told you.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm going to check YouTube today. I'm going to go check this today. I'm going to go check cable TV tonight. I'm going to go watch this today. Like, ooh. And if you ever go to a senior citizen home, that's all they got. That's all. See,
Yeah.
it's either the airports at CNN used to be, they lost that contract, but it was, or the senior citizens watching Fox and getting very angry. Because they knew
Yeah.
how to treat their people psychologically. So the goal is two things: keep your mental sanity and discern what to spend your time on and energy, and something you think you can go dig a little deeper into, make sure that you're fact-checking your source, because they can change on you tomorrow,
Oh, yeah.
right? If I today have built a reputation with my 500 episodes of, yes, he only ever tells you what he thinks, and he's not a bot guy. And then tomorrow I start saying, the show is sponsored by Harley-Davidson. What? Like, haven't you been saying that, like, motorcycle insurance is outrageous and you shouldn't have it? Like, you would not
Yeah.
trust me anymore. I would have lost my credibility with you in the time that we spend together. And I value that too highly to ever do that. But you
Yeah.
can see, just go look back at, like, Tucker Carlson's shows from when he was on CNN or when he was with Fox and where he is now. And if he says the exact opposite of what he used to say,
Yeah.
either he changed his mind, which is possible, everyone can do that, or somebody has an ulterior motive to tell him to say that. And I bet you there was a paycheck behind that. And I don't have any facts. I'm not alleging anything, but I do know who gave him his seed capital to create his podcast after he left Fox, and that matters. So it wasn't like it was out of his pocket, like
Yeah.
you and me. So. I'm not going to say it's near impossible to discern, but it's very hard and very challenging. And not a lot of people who just want to zone out, go on a jog with earphones on and listen to a podcast or an ebook or a whatever, they don't have the time for that. Like,
Yeah.
it'll just wash over them. And the next thing you know, they're at a cocktail party and they'll say, can you believe what they're doing over the Middle East? And people are like, where'd you hear that? That's not even true.
Yeah.
But I've seen it many, many times.
Right. I think this is where things really get confusing for people, because a lot of people, what looks like the truth online is actually an opinion, and a lot of what looks like insight is actually performance, and then a lot what looks like certainty is actually confidence without depth. Like, how should people should start looking, like thinking differently and looking differently about what they consume? Because
So
I
I,
see it all the time. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's
you're
like,
right.
someone says like the sky is, green. All of a sudden I see people believing that the sky is green. It's like, I can't believe how gullible sometimes people could be, So I'm sorry to get you off track, but go on.
No, it's the exact right track because that's the point, and that's what Songs About the Heartland, the book, is about, is that literally there's a history behind this. Like what you just said didn't just happen yesterday. Like this has been a long time historically happening. It has a lot to do with the consolidation of media into very few hands of the same opinion. They happen to be of the left. And the country that they were working in happened to be of the center right. So Rupert Murdoch comes from Australia, and there's only three channels in America, ABC, NBC, CBS, and they happen to be back then it wasn't as partisan. So it was, let's just say, center left post Watergate when they actually took down a president. So Rupert Murdoch comes to America from Australia and he says, hey, the demographics of America aren't 100% Democrat. It's about 50-50, maybe. Now I think it's different. But at then, nobody's servicing half the country. Why not create something that half the country wants? Crazy idea, right? I mean, if you can sell something to 100% of the people, you'll be a billionaire. So why not? So he did it, and it was very successful. And he created a fourth network after decades of three. So he did. And he also put them on their heels because they could no longer just cater to one side. They had to play more in the middle to get the crossover. And you can see what happened. CNN refused to play ball, and they're almost gone. They get less than 400,000 views a day, which is more less than you. So they blew it. They had the opportunity, but they've blown it. Because of exactly this, they lie about war, they lie about life and death, they lie about who the arsonist is and who should be going to judge, anyway. So fast forward to today, and now there's more than four channels. There's 4.4 million podcasters. There's 1,000 channels on YouTube or more. There's a hundreds of channels on thing. And so here's where it all comes down to make it very simple. I'm a disciple of Andrew Breitbart. I met him when I was in college. I thought when I graduated college, I would go work for him, but he worked for a person named Arianna Huffington, and I didn't want to work for her. I wanted to work for him, and he was talking about going out. Turns out I went a different path, and it took me 40 years to get here. But he was a guy who kind of brought this to light where he said, culture is upstream from politics. Anything you see in the movies, anything you see on TV, in a cartoon, on a commercial in between it, during the halftime show of the NFL, that's going to trickle down into your politics. So whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or a Green or whatever, somewhere along the line, you're trying to promote the culture of the day. And that's why we're in this mess that we're in right now, because culture is secular. That is human. And these folks sometimes are transhumanists. So they don't even care about culture. They don't care about life and death. They don't care about health. They don't care about food. They don't care about clean water. They care about, well, either politics and or the bottom line if they're a corporation. That's where I'm trying to weigh that thing to say if that's he died and he created about 100 of us because people like Ben Shapiro, Charlie Kirk, rest his soul. Steve Bannon, I said Ben Shapiro, there's O'Keefe. A lot of the influencers of this day, back when we were 100,000, came out of Andrew. Well, then Rush Limbaugh died, and there was only one radio guy for him on AM mostly, but 3 hours a day every day for 30 something years. Well, when he died, 1,000 of him came along, from Chris DeGaulle to Michael Yaffe, who I just filled in for last week, to all over the country, all of these names that you've may or not have heard of, but in those markets on talk radio. So, from Andrew, we got 10. From Rush, we got 100. To now, Charlie Kirk's gone, 1 million. And I'm not joking. That's how many people have a podcast that are in that route. And the left tried this with Air America to compete with Rush on the radio. It failed. They tried to compete with Andrew in the news, the three channels I told you about. They failed, and it grew up to this. And so now we're at the situation where it's a Library of Congress full. I remember the old Amazon.com commercials where they would be at the pyramids in Egypt saying, not big enough because they're too much data to sell to be held in that. And so that's where we are to this day. Just an explosion of voices and sounds and deception and lies and truth. It's in there. It's like the old X-Files TV show. The truth is out there. It's up to you to find it. It's there. And I feel bad for everybody because it'd be great if they said, you know what, you're all a bunch of liars and you're all not doing this right. You gotta do it Steve's way. He's the only show now. There's five channels, Steve's one of them, but that's not realistic. And so the bottom line is you just have to find your trusted source. But remember, they could throw you a curveball too, and then you don't trust them anymore. Dan Bongino is a great example. He was built his reputation. He was the biggest podcast in town. He had a huge following, the Bongino Army. Everyone wanted to know his truth and his inside information and politics and his Secret Service and his police background and all the rest. He goes into the government. Everyone has high expectations that he's going to be the new sheriff in town, Gary Cooper, and clean it all up, Tombstone. He didn't. And he come back, and his show is in the 90s now, maybe hundreds, not number one. And he's going to have a hard time getting that back because people don't, it's not the same guy. And, whatever his motives or his reasons, I'm sure he'd love to be number one again, but it's going to take a while. It happens if you're outed as somebody they didn't think you were in the first place. I think this is going to happen to Candace. I think this is happening to Tucker already. He's started becoming out in the wilderness from his high point. And it's sad, but I understand the history and I knew this could happen, and it sure is.
What do you think? What are some of the signs of someone that is performing certainty instead of offering clarity?
Well, the easy way is in podcasts. Not on my podcast, I made this choice. A lot of times they'll do these advertisement spots. Maybe you do too, no offense. But if it's a, like, you can do a 30-second read or you can do a break and it's a commercial. Well, if the commercial is as a corporation in the last era that we've been in, the last 4 or 5 years, a lot of corporations have picked sides and they've shown their true colors. And so if you all of a sudden hear a company that you probably don't agree with in your personal life is now advertising for the person that you thought you knew was the same way. Now, to be clear, if you say monetize on Rumble or if you monetize on YouTube, you're not really in control of the commercials that you get. And you can know that. If you listen to podcasts on a regular basis, you'll know that. But if they're reading it, it used to be like Mike Lindell, love him or hate him, I don't care. He sells pillows. He used to be every single commercial break. And a lot of people were just hitting the 45 seconds. Like, I've got how many pillows and throw tables do I need? I got it, man. Enough. And that happens. But, he was the man in that era early on of helping support Dennis Prager and Ben Shapiro and all these companies that they got bills to pay. So that's one way. Is to discern like who's sponsoring this show. For like when Ronald Reagan used to do the GE Westinghouse, show or Johnny Cash, like does he really agree with the military component of General Electric? Like no one cared. It wasn't a thing. Now it kind of matters because when they have 4.4 million choices to who to advertise with, they're going to want to go with somebody who's going to toe their line. So that gives me the bigger picture. So there's who owns the Washington Post. The guys who broke Watergate, right? Well, Jeff Bezos. Do you think they're ever going to do an anti-Amazon, I forget his rocket company, Blue Horizons, I guess it is, or his movies now? Are they ever going to say negative things about a movie that he puts out for MGM if he's their boss? Like, no, you can't. So that's weird. So then, and that's the same thing. So you kind of have to, unfortunately, because you just want to sit back, relax, crack a beer or water and watch information. But you can't because you got to check out the bias and who's behind it. And now Rupert Murdoch, the same guy who I said created that amazing fourth channel to cater to the rest of the country, he has an empire to fund as well now that has been into much bigger things than the nightly news. And so you never really know. Well, why didn't he talk about, oh, I don't know, just throw it out there as an example. Jeffrey Epstein, he's not accused of anything. I'm just using it as a name. Why didn't he cover that more? Oh, well, maybe one of his billionaire best friends has got a lot to answer for and he doesn't want it to go there. Like, you just don't know. And that's where an editor is. I'm an editor. I'm making editorial choices to say, I will report this because it's
Right.
important. If you ever say, I'm not going to report that, you got to question why. Why
Yep.
wouldn't you report that? Is it because your boss told you to? Is it because you don't think it's important? And maybe I do. And so therefore, I have to go find my information somewhere else. Like the omission is almost as important as what they actually did. And that's where we get back to when we only had three networks in America. It was never as fair and balanced as they told us it was, because
Yeah.
they would give you editorial discretion, just like prosecutorial discretion that we're just living through now, where the lawyers that work for the government will pick and choose which battles they want to fight. And a lot of times it's not what the voters want them to fight for.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the exact opposite. So we're blessed that it's the information age and it's all out there. We're cursed because the language model and the network mainstream news and the book publishing business and all of the other things that are supposed to be there to help you filter this information are not doing a very good job of pointing you in the direction that is the accurate one. That's more about the sizzling, and if it leads, it bleeds. And if it's on fire, you need to maybe know it, but you don't want to know who started it, and you certainly don't want to know if there's a politician involved in some kickbacks to put it out or something of that nature. Like, because maybe that politician is really good friends with this media owner, and
Yeah.
they help each other. So that didn't used to be the thing. At least you didn't know it, but now we know it, or at least I do, and I try to discern it.
Right. Now, a lot of people do not want to check out completely. Like, they want to stay aware, they want to be informed, but they also do not want to feel mentally hijacked by the nonstop cycle. So, how do you stay informed without becoming overwhelmed?
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, like I said, when it was four channels and it was the evening news, you only had to watch an hour a day, and you'd laugh at your dad or mom because they were
Yeah.
into the news, and you're a kid, you want to go out and play, or two or three newspapers in your local hometown, which is how this whole thing
Exactly.
started for me. I took over a hometown newspaper and I was trying to give hometown news, but everybody wanted to watch, cable news opinion. They wanted to go from Tucker
Right.
to Sean to Laura. There's 3 hours of your day gone, and what did you really get out of it? It's like eating Chinese food. You're hungry an hour later.
Yeah.
So, but you're right, and it's why they're successful, right? Why would an advertiser bother with CNN? Well, because people watch it. Why is
Yeah.
TikTok a trillion-dollar company now owned by Oracle? Because people are on it and they're using it, and some are using it for good, and some are not, and a lot of them are not, unfortunately. So, how do you? I mean, there's. You know, they've tried these things with like children filters, and they've tried these things with like, okay, turn your Wi-Fi off at night. And people just don't do it because
Yeah.
it's too engaging. It's too attractive. Literally, Facebook got in trouble for giving people dopamine hits as they were online, which you'd think like, well, no, if I didn't smoke it or snort it up my nose, it can't be bad for me. Well, actually it can.
Yeah.
And this AI thing has actually been proven now to rot your brain. Like, not like they used to say, like, you're watching too much TV, or don't sit so close to the TV, you'll go blind. It's rotting your flesh in your skull. Like, that can't be good if you
Yeah.
want discernment. But boy, would it make you susceptible to some language if they started to tell you, like, well, what is a woman? I don't know. Like, well, you should. It's common sense, but that whole thing has been wiped out. So I don't want to go on a rant because I know the show's not hours and hours, and your audience is going to be like, who is this crazy person? But all I'm trying to say is that, like, if you're looking at the forest and not the trees, you can't. It's just
Right.
impossible. But if you look at the trees, if you touch grass, if you actually talk to people instead of in a cubicle and DM your next door neighbor at your office, you will get so much more joy out of life and so much more understanding
Yeah.
about this world we live in, because it's not as complex or as confusing or as mysterious as the noise would have you believe it is.
Right.
The
Now
truth is
what?
simple. The truth is simple. And if you are truth, if you believe in the truth, and you do three, I had a guy on my show yesterday. He does three podcasts a day. If he was a liar, he's going to have a hard time remembering the
All the
lie from
lies.
show to show. And in this era, when you can just put it up on YouTube, hey, Hillary, you said this last week and you said this today. That doesn't go. They used to be able to do that in the 40s and 50s. You could lie all
Yeah.
day long, nobody would know. Now you get that split screen where they can prove you out. You just can't get away with it. But some of them are still in the old camp and they think they can. So the generation will flip away. But I'm telling you, of the 4.4 million, there used to be, what, 10,000 banks, and now we're down to like a couple thousand. Consolidation will happen, and only the truthers who don't have to lie every 5 minutes to stay on the same page, unless you're a really good liar, then that's a different story. But the majority of them aren't, and you will figure it out one way or the other. Either you will be lied to and never go back, or you will say, no, that sounds accurate. I verified it. It's good. I can trust him on that issue. I'll come back for whatever the next issue is, and then I'll verify it again. Because if they're creating content to the tunes of hundreds of hours a year, there's a lot of chances to blow it. But the big picture, and everyone makes mistakes, that's fine. But the big picture is, if you really blow it, if you lie, you shouldn't go back a second time, because liars lie. Truthers do their best to tell you the truth, and if they tell you something wrong, they didn't lie to you, they made a mistake. Big difference.
You know, what are healthy habits that people should actually build around media consumption? Because, we talked about like how people, what the problem with lying and the problem like you're going to run out of lies or you're going to forget the lies that you told. And we've seen people in the media do that many times. So what are the healthy habits people should build around the media consumption that we really need to start doing? Because right now I see a lot of negativity around our media, and we need to make a big change. So what are some of the healthy habits people should build around media consumption?
Well, one thing I like to point out is that it is a production, right? Like a movie. When you go to the movies, you don't really think about, like, I wonder what the script boy is doing right now, or what the lighting man is doing right now while I'm watching this intense love scene or this murder scene, right? So remember that when Tucker Carlson used to get behind the desk at Fox, he had about 15 writers spending all day in a teleprompter for what he could read. So you'll never really know what his opinion is. And if they're smart writers, they will kind of keep the politics out of it, so they're not knocking the making the Democrats mad this hour and then the Republicans mad the next hour. So there's that. And you can tell, because now that they're off the chain and they're independent, Megan was at Fox too, and she's got her own producers, maybe some of them that went way low budget, they don't have producers at all. That maybe their true colors are actually coming out. So now you have to judge, like, wait, were they lying then or are they lying now? Like you would say if you're in court. Some healthy tips besides that for discernment is to remember that I used to call them news actors. They weren't even news anchors anymore. They were
I
actors. They
know.
were reading lines. And who wrote those lines? I don't know. Just like the late night comedians. Colbert's not very funny, but he is supposed to be a comedian because he's reading comics writing, and for all we know, he fired the one from last night and it's a brand new one tonight, and we don't know what he's going to say. It's crazy. But he's the one who's the front man. He's the voice, like a singer. Like Elvis didn't write his own songs, but man, did he sing really good songs. So, okay, health-wise, here's a key that I really find important, and it's because I'm also writing my shows and I'm doing my show with you on Zoom, and I have a microphone here. There's a lot of electricity going on, and then we're using Wi-Fi. We're talking about going to 6G now. We're at 5G now. I'm not so sure that jump is going to be very healthy. So A, don't the last if you can the last hour of your day, if you go to bed at 10, starting around 9 o'clock, don't look at a blue screen anymore. Put that phone around. Late breaking news is sometimes, but not all the time, like an earthquake or something like that. So put the phone away. Don't sleep with it anywhere near your head. My son used to, go to sleep with his headphones on and listening to music. And I'm like, no. Your brain's not going to develop. You're going to get the sino waves are going to screw you up. So we put it out of there. So basically from bedtime an hour before till you wake up, their phone is nowhere near you. So at least that's half your day. If you sleep 12 hours, okay, let's just say half your day. You can also turn your router off, because all those Wi-Fi signals are going on all day long. And sometimes you might even wake up in the morning and you're like, oh my gosh, something's going on. I just sense it. Yeah, you may have gotten that radio wave, the same as if you're on your cell phone hearing someone's voice in your sleep. Did you know that? Some people don't. They're like, oh, it's so convenient. I fell asleep. And it used to be you fall asleep with a cigarette in your mouth, you burn your house down. Now you fall asleep with your phone next to you and you're rotting your brain. You didn't know that. So there's actually ways to turn your router off on a timer. Like if you know nobody's awake at 10, nobody wakes up till 6, just off. Very good idea. So that's a healthy way to go about it. And then, of course, they have these things on your phone that will tell you, hey, you were up, you were on your phone 9 hours today or this week. You were on at 10 the week before. So good for you. You're down 10%, but 9 hours? Like 9 hours. You go to work for 8 hours usually. You're in school for 8 hours usually. Like that's a lot of scrolling. I probably wouldn't need these glasses, which are ugly, if it wasn't for how much time I'm looking at news to try to make my news. You know, is it like there's a problem with screens, which why our parents told us, hey, sit back from the TV,
The
you're gonna go
TV.
blind. What's the difference between a TV and a computer? Only worse. It's got a blue screen, black and
Worse.
white, and it's constantly at you. A movie is like 32 frames a second, whereas this is like 1,000 blasts of light. So that's a thing. So I'm always doing my show prep and my article prep outside. I will walk. I will touch grass. I will look at the sky so that my near and far vision, because this is one dimensional, but it looks three dimensional. So that's important because your eyes, if I lose my eyesight, how am I gonna write an article? How am I gonna, yes, there's Dragon app and I can start talking to it, but I don't really want to go that way. I want to be able to see and discern, back to that word again. So those are three tips I got. There's probably more, but oh, and you can't sit all the time like I do. I'm right now, this whole hour, I've been sitting. I didn't get up, stretch my legs, get my circulation going. So you really do need to have an exercise program of some kind, even 30 minutes of walking per day, which is perfect for me because I used to do walk and talks with my dog, but now I just do it for show prep walking. She passed away last year. She's very important in the book. So I'll just throw the Sweet Carolina a shout out there. But yeah, so you just have to be human in a non-human or transhuman form of media, which is the television, now the phone. We didn't used to have that. A smartphone is not smart. So yeah, I think those are some pretty good ones. There's probably more, but yeah, if you get up every hour, don't sleep with the phone next to you, turn off your Wi-Fi at night, you'll probably live a lot happier of a life with more
Oh,
energy.
sure.
Yeah. Maybe you have some tips too. You've been doing it longer than me.
No, you hit it on the bat. It's I remember I had one of our writers on our team. She was a doctor, and she came down with lung cancer, and she never smoked a cigarette in her life. And she swore it was the cell phones, and she swore it was the microwaves and all the electronic, Wi-Fi waves that they use, the transmitted waves that they use to make all these devices work. And so
Yeah,
it's
people don't even know. As they get smarter, which means bigger, they radiate more. It's radiation. It's like putting your head in the microwave. So if you answer your phone call and you have an hour-long interview with you and don't use headphones, which is the next best thing, you're going to radiate your ear and your brain is right there. So it can't be good. Now, is NBC owned by used to be owned by GE going to tell you that? So you got to come to my show and hear the guy that I did about EMF.
It's true. So you also mentioned that the future of podcasts and influencer media, and I think, that this matters because more and more people are getting their information from creators instead of traditional outlets. And what do you think about that, about people that they need to understand about where their media is going? Because Stevens, your the public, footprint includes, the Heartland Journal podcast, which appears across, Apple and other audio platforms. And, the audience really needs to understand that, I see people Googling all the time and they just, whatever they hear, they believe. So, where do you think the future is going, and how do we have to, help to make society understand that they really need to pay attention of where their information is coming from, and, what's behind the scenes of where they're finding their information, who's influencing that information, and how accurate is that information? Because people just listen and believe, and they don't really do the research to understand where that information is actually coming from.
When I was a young stockbroker back in the day, we had a guy named Art Cashman, who was always on CNBC, when that was kind of the fifth channel. People wanted to check into their stocks and stuff. And he was a great, brilliant mind, always great one-liners. He was kind of like Senator Kennedy from Louisiana before there was a Senator Kennedy from Louisiana. And he always used to say, "The secret for me to invest is I look in the back pages of the Wall Street Journal on what I think is going to make its way to the front page soon." That's the trick. So what I do when I book guests on my show is somebody that I found obscurely talking about eminent domain and their farm and how the city is trying to, take advantage of them, because I'm like, that's a national issue, but it isn't yet. So, or the fires in Nebraska, nobody cares. That's why it's called Heartland, not Wall Street Journal. And so what I like to believe is, like, if you come to my show and my website and my news, I've did that for you. I did the heavy lifting by looking around the country every day to say, like, here's a news story that is going to be on Sean Hannity later, maybe next week, but it isn't yet. And why? So once you see, like, well, I don't need Sean Hannity, I got Steve. Yay, victory, right? But it will end up there, but you'll be late. So even though they'll say breaking news on Fox, it's actually already broke. Like, that's how I found Riley Gaines. That's how I found Chloe Cole, who's suing Kaiser and may put them out of business because it's so bad with the class action lawsuit. So, of course they didn't want her to go on CNN. They wouldn't, it's an existential threat to their business model. So I think the answer to your question is, A, what used to be all there was, your local newspaper, they will tell you something important in your local town that will one day make it to New York's newsroom and then be blasted around the country. It's funny, I actually laugh sometimes. I said, "Oh, look, Tennessee made the national news." That's sort of like what I'm saying, is like, of the 50 states, there's always something going on. But does LA care what happens in Iowa? No. Should you? Maybe, if it's a Supreme Court situation that's going to end up affecting the whole country about, Social Security theft, or Medicare theft, that's going to third world countries. So, okay, that's the easy answer. Yes, tune into heartlandjournal.com every day and subscribe for free, and you'll get a newsletter in your inbox every day. And you can delete it if you don't care, but the headlines will get you. And then, of course, there's my opinion, and there's Vincent's opinion, and there's Scott's health opinion, which is where I got that statistic about the turning the routers off at night, because that's his angle on health and fitness, not you should put a wearable on and sleep with it at night and see how your dreams were or whatever. It's like, well, that's going to affect it, isn't it? You got electricity zapping through you that your heart didn't. Anyway, so yes, that's a great filter. My book is a great filter because it's about how I discern who to have on the show and why, and what they became after the fact, and how I knew, just being a common sense dude from a different walk of life than podcasting or media, that story needed to be broadcast everywhere. Like losing your medical license in Texas because the medical board is questionable, let's just say, or the most decorated NYPD officer in history going to jail for accidentally stumbling upon a Chinese New York issue that Trump ended up pardoning him. Well, I had him on before. I had his wife on before the pardon. Does that answer that? That doesn't sound like it answers the question, because I think the real answer is we have, there's a lot of traps out there for us. It's every day, a thousand times. Temptation is everywhere, and it's so convenient to log into your phone and check Apple News. But you got to go. And if you agree with Apple News, you're not going to go look elsewhere. You're going to be like, "Oh, that's right." And then you got to go to a cocktail party and you got to yell at your crazy uncle who, is a Republican to tell you you're wrong, but you're not going to believe him because you're going to think you're right. So it's not for everybody. There's going to be an MSNBC forever. There's going to be a Fox forever. There's going to be, hopefully, my show for a long time to be able to say, we were the alternative. But there was an alternative to the New Testament. There was an alternative to the Old Testament. There's an alternative to Adam and Eve in the serpent and the snake. So there's always going to be human temptation to get the wrong information, right? What did the serpent tell Eve? Like, how do you know God doesn't want you to eat that? Are you
Right.
sure? Well, he told us. Well, are you sure? Like, that's how this all happens. So there's always going to be, in every segment of every new show forever,
Yeah.
something in there that you probably need to fact check. And if you get complacent and you get comfortable and you say, oh no, Trump's president now, for the next 4 years, I can totally check out and I just believe everything I'm told, you're going to get fooled.
Yeah.
And I personally don't like that. Some people don't mind, by the way. I should just throw that out there. Some people love being fooled. Like, ignorance is bliss, and the less I know, the better. I'll put my head in the sand. I don't even vote. I don't care. It's just more interesting to me. I want to know what Kim Kardashian is going to wear to the Grammys. Like, okay, that's what can you do?
Right.
The gate is narrow, the road is wide. But those who do want discernment, who end up, I believe, going on to big things like laws that men can't swim in women's sporting competitions. That didn't exist when Riley was just a graduate. Came on the show. We talked about that. She stayed true to her opinions and she worked her all the way up to the Congress. She was at the State of the Union with Trump. There are laws being passed in certain states that disallow that insanity. And had she not, if she had been like squished day one, nope, we would never would have gotten to this point. So that's the point, is that it's going to come from the least expected and the least amongst us, David and Goliath, but they can go on to be King David.
Right. Now let's make this practical. Like for the person listening right now who feels overloaded by the content and that we have out there and is unsure what to trust, what are the first three things that they should actually do to think more clearly?
Well, for 99 cents right now on Amazon, you can buy this book, Songs About the Heartland, read by me, of 99 cents, and we crack the top 100. So those people will be on that track, as you said, if they read it or listen to it. The other things to do is I would really try. It's a little bit, okay. So back in the day, I'm old enough to remember this. You had TV, you plug it in, and it was free. You got ABC, NBC, PBS. It's free,
Right.
but supported by viewers like you, right? Then they got cable TV, and like, oh, now you're paying $100 a month for cable TV, and you can have this many channels, a lot
Right.
of channels, channels you would probably never even stop on, much less listen to.
Right.
Now you have a Spotify subscription, so that you don't have commercials, and you have a YouTube TV in your house. And you have your Verizon bill or AT&T. I'm not sponsoring anybody. I'm just telling you.
Right.
This long list that's gotten, it went from free with Napster to you're paying about the same as the old cable days, but you have a million channels to stream now instead of just one or two. My suggestion to everybody is, instead of doing like I did before I had a podcast, I was a podcast junkie. I would
Yeah.
spend probably 8 hours a day awake with a podcast in my ears because I loved it. I would listen to Bongino. I listened to Rush when he, before he died, started putting his show on podcast. I listened to Charlie Kirk. I listened to Ben Shapiro, although that was very difficult because I like to do it at 1.5 speed, and he sounded like he was Mickey Mouse on helium at that point. So I didn't. His Tracy Beans, who's been on my show, Chris DeGaulle, like all of these voices. But what I ultimately ended up doing was I started narrowing it down to one trusted voice. I'm not gonna tell you who it is. Because A, I didn't have enough time in a day anymore. If I'm making my own content, how am I supposed to spend? And I didn't want them to influence my style either, although it's probably already drilled into me. If Andrew Breitbart was alive to this day, I'd be listening to his podcast, but he's not. For me, it's one. For you, maybe two. For some other people, maybe three, but don't do six, seven, eight, nine, or 10, and just try to listen to it for a second with open eyes and say, what did I learn from that show? I just spent 2 hours with this guy or gal. What did I get? I can't remember a darn thing. Then why bother, right? Why do it next time? I mean, it may have entertained you for that moment, but so would hitting yourself in the head with a hammer or God forbid, recreational drugs or going to the movies or going on a walk.
Yeah.
And I get music. Now, music is okay. You want to go on a jog or treadmill in the gym and you got music in your ears and it's high energy and it gets you something. Okay, that gets you something. But if you're listening to just a bunch of cotton candy for 2, 3, 8 hours a day and can't remember a single thing you heard the day before or that day, probably not worth your time.
Right.
Start a business, raise a kid, help your kid with your homework, go throw the football, something of the old school to just remind yourself that you're only on this earth a short time, and so why waste it with those dummies?
Yeah. Now, if
You
there
probably
is.
know more, not you personally, but the person I'm talking to out there in the ether probably knows more than Megyn Kelly is going to tell them today, even if they just, took a minute to think about it. They
Right.
didn't need her to tell them what they already know. And if they
Right.
tell you something you don't know, you have to question, is that even accurate? Then
Yeah.
it's a whole nother can of worms. So not to belittle the entire podcast industry or the news industry, although I think I have for the whole hour, I just want people to understand that you're not always getting what you think. You read the
Yeah.
dictionary, you're pretty accurate gonna get the description of that word. You listen to Jason Whitlock for an hour. I don't know. Maybe his opinion on sports is different than yours, and it really wasn't worth your while. And you won't remember it 5 hours later to tell somebody else, like, hey, I learned this really important thing today. You should know this. And if you
Yeah.
did, probably once out of every 10 shows.
What
No
is
offense to Jason, he lives over there, but I just threw that out there because we're all on the internet at the same time.
Right, exactly. And what is the fastest way to become less manipulative?
Become less manipulative or
Yeah.
less manipulated.
You could use both, actually. It's pretty much the same thing.
Well,
It's
I
just
try not
being.
to be manipulative because I've met a
Oh,
lot
we
of
don't.
people
We're
in my
not. Ta
life who
I'm
are
not talking about
manipulative.
us being manipulative. Let people, becoming less manipulative, where they're not being, they're not being manipulated by others.
Ah, well, discernment is the key. It's literally in the Bible, and you need to know the difference between a false prophet and a true prophet. And 99.9%, just watch the movie Leap of Faith with Steve Martin. You're not going to win that battle every single time. There are snakes and manipulators out there who will get you. And you have to kind of just say, ah, fell for it again, I guess, because there is no silver bullet or armor of God to, against that. But the best way I ever found to do it was to dig deeper into the backgrounds of who's telling me what they're telling me. I'm not talking
Right.
about friends. I'm talking about people whose job it is to spout nonsense. There's this wonderful viral clip that someone put out there where you get one newscaster in San Diego says something, and then a newscaster in El Paso says the exact same thing, and then along comes Manhattan and Florida, and like before you know it, there's 50 split screens all saying the exact same thing. If you heard it the first time, you probably believe it. By the
Right.
49th time, you got to believe, like, wait. Is that programmed? Are they trying to manipulate me into thinking something? Okay, now
Yeah.
what exactly did they say? Oh, they said that driving without a seatbelt is a great idea. You don't have to do that anymore. Wait, that's verifiably false. How can that be? There's plenty of roadkill out there that didn't wear their seatbelt, and those who survived that did. So you see what I'm saying? So the only real way to do is to sort of look at it less as a let the talking cult of personality wash over me. But let's actually listen to what they say and then go discern and verify that it's accurate. And if they bat a thousand,
Yeah.
that's your all-star. That's your fan. You go collect their trading cards, go buy their book, go, wear their t-shirt around, watch them every night. But if they start slipping and you start seeing that now because
Yeah.
your eyes are open, you can't be manipulated. Once you see
Right.
it, you can't unsee it. Once they lie to you, it's like your spouse. Once your wife, if your spouse lies to you, you're not going to trust that spouse anymore. You love them and you got kids with them and you got economic glue that keeps you together. But if they're lying to you, that's not the person from that you chose to marry, right? So as an
Right.
example, God forbid you're married to the TV show, but if Don Lemon lies to you or Andrew Cuomo lies to you or his brother, Chris Cuomo lies to you, why do you go back a second time? Why do people keep going back to Candace Owens, whose credibility is shot to heck and gone, but yet they do?
Right.
Okay, don't be that person. Let the other millions do it, which I'm pretty convinced are bots now. She's not as popular because I do believe that people will go away from credibility. Real quick, I'll tell you a story. When I was graduating high school, I went as a chaperone, and we went to DC. So it was high school kids and me, who was just recently graduating as a chaperone. And we went to DC for 3 days on our way to Russia. But this was after Perestroika, and America was doing their glasnost, which was bringing the cultures together. So we were going to be the largest group of students to go over there, whatever. So in the 3 day orientation in DC, we had a guy who got on stage, and this is at the end of the Cold War, by the way. The Cold War was still pretty much on, and this guy gets up there and he's got a thick Russian accent, and he's telling us this whole thing about, life in Russia and how America has been so amazing and how things are getting better and blah 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 blah. And at the end of this little speech, he breaks into his real accent, which was American. He was an ambassador or whatever, and I was mad. I'm like, I wasn't sitting here for a show. I didn't come to a movie to watch an actor deliver lines. I listened to somebody, and really, as a youthful, exuberant, optimistic guy, I'm thinking like, wow, this is our two cultures have been at war for so long, and this is give peace a chance. This is so cool. And he lied to us. And I from that moment on, I'm like, everything you just said is crap. And so then when I actually went to the Soviet Union the next day, and I could look around and go like, this whole thing has been a big charade the whole time. This whole Cold War thing, where these were the Huns and we were the White Knights and the whatever. They're like, no, not at all. They got 1950s cars because we won't give them anything modern, but they are us 50 years ago. That it's where this is a this has been a big darn lie. And no, they're not going to nuke us. So maybe now, but not then. So long story short is that once you're lied to by a credible source, or all the news that's fit to print, or democracy dies in darkness, or all this other slogans that they try to tell you, come to us for truth, justice, and the American way. Well, okay, but you lie to me once, twice, maybe three times. Forget it, because then it's on me. I'm the sucker, not you. You're just getting, paid for clicks, and not you. I don't mean you. I'm talking about me. So don't take it personal, Stacey. I'm just being general. But to answer your question, the only way you're ever going to stop being lied to, because we're lied to all the time, every day. It's in our water, it's in our food, it's in our phones, all the time. The only way that you're going to stop is if somebody in authority who's honest and truthful and doesn't have an ulterior motive, whether it be money or fame or clicks, gives it to you honestly. And not all people like that. People don't like to be hear the blunt truth, because it either scares them or makes them mad, or they're on the political other side of it. And so many things have been politicized these days that was common sense. You all of a sudden say like, whoa, you must be this or that. And then you see the influencers on the right attacking each other, dividing themselves on the exact same stuff. Oh, you've been a 99.9% Republican for 20 years. You got an A plus rating from the Liberty Score. But you know what? On this one thing, school vouchers, you're against us, so you're a Democrat. And then all the Republicans are like, what? Wait, I've trusted him for all these years. And so that's a problem too. But yeah, long story short, we live in a very strange world. It's very difficult. I wish there was a silver bullet or a red pill. But the best thing you can do is, find someone you trust, especially someone who's not here anymore. Like, go read a Rush Limbaugh book, or an Andrew Breitbart's one book. He only lived to do one book, or my book. And you will find ways, just like interpreting the Bible, you will find meanings in it that once you see it, you won't unsee it. If I call Megyn Kelly a news actress, you don't get it. But if you hear her reciting a line that she probably didn't write, but delivering it with passion and conviction, you'd think that's in her soul. That's what she really thinks. But you don't know these people. We don't know these people. We don't have our kids in their school. We don't listen. They could just as easily say something they don't believe as they could tell you something they do believe. And one of the sad things is, you and I talked about this before we started. Most people who come to this $4.4 million crowd of podcasters, they usually don't make it past eight. Right? They all say, I want to do a podcast. That sounds easy. That sounds fun. I love that. And they're like, okay, I did one and it was really hard and I don't want to do it anymore. So, and that counts in the 4.4 million as far as I'm concerned. But when you have truth on your side every single time, you can have longevity, you can keep going, but if you have a writer department like these comedians pumping out the stuff that's in the culture, and you deliver it as if you're convicted because you have to keep your loyal fans loyal, you can lose your soul that way. You really aren't being, you're an actor now. You're a news actor. That's what I'm trying to say, is like, you could today you could be in Goodfellas, tomorrow you could be in Patch Adams. It's not the same person, and we never know who those people are. We don't know who Don Lemon is on the weekends. We don't know who Sean Hannity is in the afternoons. We thought we knew who Bill Clinton was. We didn't know who he was during the shutdown until the news break, and that was through an independent journalist who didn't exist prior to that. So we would have known as much about Kennedy as we do about Clinton had what's his name? I forget all of a sudden. The Mudraker guy. That era is past now. We're all that now. We're all Drudge. Drudge. The Drudge Report is what I'm saying. By being an independent journalist and exposing long-held traditions and facts, we literally got to where we are today now, where that is what gets clicks. And sometimes it hurts the innocent. And so you have to be aware that, is it a truth or is it a lie?
Now, if you could leave the people with one message about trust, media, and clear thinking, what would it be?
Follow the money. Like I said, this whole tickle the algorithm thing has become big business. People like Candace and Tucker, even if they lie to you or if they tell you something that's unverifiable and you click on it, they're getting paid for it. So it doesn't matter if you click on it because you're mad or if you click on it because you're looking for truth and discernment. It just matters to them that you clicked on it. And knowing that, you know what you pay for, right? So if you're doing it because, oh, do I really care about that again? Maybe I'll just not even go there. At least think of it like, well, at least I'm not giving them my paycheck. Just like if you were going to go to a company, like Starbucks, and say, well, I'm going to pay $4.91 for an ounce of coffee or 12 ounces of coffee, which really costs like 5 cents. Like, maybe I don't do that. Maybe I'll just do Folgers at home or something. Like, the same discernment you do with your pocketbook, think about that in terms of the information you consume, because the ulterior motive might just be profit. It might be disinformation, as you said early on, which is a word that really didn't even exist. It's just called lying. Or why are they influencers? Where'd that word come from? Oh, you're influencing me. You're not informing me or educating me, for God's sakes, like a professor in college. You are trying to influence my opinion. Well, I've got my own opinion. Thank you very much. I don't need it. So I would say, if you're looking for information, look for people who are brought on as authorities to be interviewed and hear what they have to say, to try to get like a master's degree in 1 hour instead of 4 years, as opposed to just somebody who's talking about, this Republican did this with that intern over there in California and now wants to be governor. Yeah, philanderers are gonna philander. That's not a thing. Don't have to spend hours and hours talking about it. And read more, learn how to read. That's a key. The fact that kids, two-thirds of them can't read in America, and this time, that just drives me bananas. I mean, I've got two kids of my own. They can read. They're both in college. One's about to graduate, and I didn't do much to make that happen. It's not like it was, a burden on me to get them to that point. But the kids who don't, man, their future's not going to be looking so good, and they can't even read my book, right? So, like, come on, read, re learn to read. It's not hard. Hooked on Phonics. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. Now, tell us a
Well, that's
little.
what podcasting is, by the way. It's the next level of Hooked on Phonics. Instead of you learning to read, I'll just read it to you.
You hit it on the button. Now, tell us a little about your book and tell us a little about your podcast and any other services that you provide.
All right. Well, Songs About the Heartland is a book that I wrote out of nowhere, let's just say, because I'd never written a book before. I'm not an author, but I had so many voices on my show. I call them songs, but so many people on my show that needed to be heard that I said, I gotta write a book out of this. So a friend of mine who actually acquired my former company, which was called Mill Creek View out of Mill Creek, Washington, this little sliver of the northwest corner of the country. Hometown paper, delivered door to door, print by kids, 8 to 14 years old, delivering the paper. She called me and said, "Hey, this story's a book." And I said, "Well, I'm not going to write it." She said, "No, you have to. This is so important. You got to write it." I said, "Okay, I'll do it." So it was supposed to be 30,000 words. It turned out to be 90,000 words. I had a lot to say, and mostly about these people on my show. And I intertwined my own life in there, and that's important part of it. But my background was I had only ever done one article for my college newspaper in Southern California, and the only reason I got a press pass is because I wanted to get to the front of the line in Manhattan Beach during St. Patrick's Day and not have to wait in line and then write about it. And I did that. St. Patrick's Day bar crawl, 1992, I guess 1990, let's just say. And I never did anything since. And so this all fell into my lap, this whole media thing, and she thought it was a story. So it was. And so I said, "Okay, I'll do it, but I want it to be proof of concept because I want to start a publishing company that can do this for other people like me who have a voice to be heard that the big guys, just like in media, aren't doing in publishing." So that's the Simon and Schusters or the Penguins. And I know a lot of people who had really bad experiences at some of these guys, and I wanted to give them a good experience. So we are doing this. I opened the doors and it just came flooding in. So we're doing books, music, and screenplays for screenwriters and authors and songwriters who they won't get a label deal with the big guys, Warner Brothers, who are also deer in the headlights because there's big acquisition going on and they're probably going to all be laid off. So I'm still here. So we're going to do what I do for the podcast with authors, which is publish stories that need to be told that aren't being put anywhere else. So that's called Heartland Publishing. You can go to heartland-publishing.com and get a free consultation if you have a book in your brain or if you have a book almost done, because we're really awesome with distribution, which Amazon self-publishers don't get either. And my book is the top, last I looked, it was 97 in the country, and top 60 something in two categories. I'm not, like I said, I'm not Michael Crichton. I'm not, anybody. I'm just me. And I wrote this book and it's really great. And that's the audiobook that you can get for 99 cents right now. And so heartlandjournal.com every day is every day that, so today's podcast will be tomorrow's newsletter. And that goes out to, 2 million people last year. So we have the distribution channel to have those songs sung to as many ears and eyes as humanly possible. So we created this machine that's, taken off every Friday. Today, as a matter of fact, at noon, I put out my 3 and 3, which is the three top stories of the news that the news didn't want you to know. So 3 stories in 3 minutes that the mainstream media either forgot to tell you or didn't want to tell you. And it never gets in there in 3 minutes, FYI, but usually in about 8. I guarantee you, if you listen to that, it's way better than, 5 hours a day of CNN Monday through Friday. The 3 stories that the mainstream didn't want to tell you. So we do that. Lots of social media stuff, of course. We just had the Heartland Awards where we gave best actor, best actress, best male singer, best female singer of the year. This is the second annual version because I was so angry that the Grammys and the Academy Awards, who are had a record low viewership, so everyone else has figured this out too. The corporations were choosing the winners, like American Idol, but we wanted the subscribers and the Heartland lovers of artists and talent to have a say, so they voted. I put it up the website. They voted. We choose the winners. I'm announcing them next week. And they're going to get a handmade in America statuette. It's really cool, guitar on a bass with a brass plaque. And one of the winners is the second year in a row, so that's even cooler.
That is.
And so that's the mission of the media company is to be the Heartland, Heartland voices, Heartland songs, Heartland experiences, patriotism, Americana, truth. That I think they have just completely lost in the big budget corporate entities that are all tucked under bigger companies like MSNBC is Microsoft NBC. People don't even know that anymore. NBC itself said, "Oh, we're out. We're not even doing this anymore." So, do you really want your news from Microsoft? Do you really want your news from Jeff Bezos' Amazon? So we're trying to be the purer version of truth and information and entertainment, and that means now book writing and songwriting.
I love it. I love it.
I
You
didn't know
know,
how bad it was, by the way, until I got here and started doing this. I didn't know this. I didn't know that the news is just a write-off of these guys while they're on their yachts, or that the country music industry in Nashville is completely wokeified and they're not allowed to say Jesus or too much Americanism. You can get one single, but that's it. Born in the USA is it, and then from then on you got to be anti everything. Like, I didn't know that, but I did know that the country wants it. Just like I know in politics, I know what they want from their politicians. They don't get it, but they want it. So why not give it to them? If I was ever to run, which I won't, I would give them what they want. If I was ever a media conglomerate owner, I'll give them what they want. Just like
right.
P.T. Barnum said, only the opposite, because he was one of the original tricksters. Come on in and see the bearded lady. Hey, wait, that's a guy.
Oh my gosh. What is your website so people can know so they can go on to it?
Yeah, heartlandjournal.com. If you go there, you'll see the news of the day. Every Friday, I write a column. You'll see my column. Every Monday, Vincent Cavallari, who's a deputy sheriff from Mill Creek, Washington, and city council member from Mill Creek, Washington, he writes. We got Booker Scott on there on occasion. We got Scott Jansen, who does health and wellness when he can. We've got Andre Calder the third now. He does video sports. So we're growing quite a bit in our stable. Gigi Butler, who grew to be the biggest cupcake company in America, the most highly watched undercover boss of that show's history. She
Yeah.
does a blog for us too. And these are stories that matter, like I said. So there are stories that the mainstream don't want you to know in health and fitness, and there are stories that they don't want you to know about in sports, and
Right.
we'll give it to you. That's also where the podcast is library is. That's where the awards were, and they will be again next year. The voting, that is, and videos. When I go on shows like yours or Newsmax or whoever invites me, I've got quite a bit. All the videos are there, and I think there's even a link to our social media, Twitter and TikTok, all Heartland Journal, Instagram, Facebook, you name it. And then, of course, every time there's a show, you can see it on Rumble, you can see it on YouTube, you can see it on our Substack. Heartland Journal. We are everywhere the internet you can do. You could spend your entire 9 hours with us per day, but I don't recommend it for your eyes, as we talked about earlier, and for your sanity. But it will be the news that you won't see on CNN. That's the key. So if there's a scandal brewing in Louisiana as we speak, or a water issue in Western Texas, or a data center that's going in Ohio, and the city council finally voted, unanimously no to expanding it, that's where you're going to hear that. You will not hear that on ABC Radio or Fox, most likely. Or if you do, it'll be 30 seconds and that's it. We'll dwell on it because we don't
Right.
think it's right. We don't think it's the way it should be. The book, of course, is everywhere: Amazon, Barnes and Noble. You can buy it from the website. That'd be great. Five star. Appreciated if you read it and you like it and give a review, because the algorithm does care about that. And I'm sure once they figure out this thing's trending, that's like, hey, wait a second, we can't have patriotism in the New York Times bestseller list. I got lots of stories of that. And let's see, I probably forgot something, but it's not hard to find. Just heartlandjournal.com, or just Google Heartland Journal, or if you don't like that, DuckDuckGo Heartland Journal. And something will come up in our stable. We have a YouTube channel too. I should have mentioned that.
Love it. You know, what I appreciate about this conversation is that it speaks to something that a lot of people are feeling right now, but they may not have named it clearly enough, So it is exhausting to live in a world where, everyone is talking and very few people are helping you think. So this conversation reminds us that, the answer is not to consume more, that, it is to consume more intentionally and questions more wisely and to protect your attention. attention like it matters, because it does matter, you know. So Stephen, I am so happy that you came on the show today. It brings a timely perspective to the challenge through, what's going on in our society, and all your information and everything you provided today, the tools, techniques, advice on how to really, go through life and try to discern what's the truth and what's not the truth, and not to be so easily manipulative, and that the truth is out there, and we just have to be careful when we're, see who's, talking to us, where it's coming from, and really discern what the truth is and what not, is not the truth. And so I'm really glad that you came on the show today, because we all.
That's really well said, and I want to thank you. You're a great interviewer. You made it very easy and smooth, and you got things out of me that I don't usually think of. So thank you for doing what you do so well.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been great having you on the show, and I look forward to having you in the future, and you've been great. Thank you so much for being here, and I appreciate you.